The news for July 2007 is part of the Jodcast. For the whole show, go to www.jodcast.net.
In the news this month: hottest exoplanet found, outburst precursor to a supernova, mystery of ancient shorelines on Mars, and liquid mirror telescopes on the Moon. Astronomers investigating exoplanets, those orbiting stars other than our own Sun, have found a planet with a surface temperature of 2,300 degrees Kelvin on the day side, hotter than some small stars. It is possible to predict the temperature of a planet if you know how much radiation it receives from its host star. The more radiation it absorbs, the hotter it is. The amount of radiation absorbed depends on the surface albedo, a measure of how reflective a surface is. An object with an albedo of zero absorbs all the light falling on it and would look black. To measure the surface temperature of a planet, astronomers look for the decrease in infrared radiation as the planet passes behind its parent star. The amount by which the radiation decreases tells you how hot the planet is. This only works for a small number of known extrasolar planets, since the orbit of the planet must be aligned in just the right way that it is eclipsed by the star during its orbit. There are now more than 200 known planets outside our solar system, but only 14 of them have the right geometry for this measurement to be possible. Predictions for the temperature of this planet, known as HD 149026b, were around 1,400 degrees Kelvin, much cooler than the measurements. The team who made this measurement, led by Joseph Harrington at the University of Central Florida, suggests several mechanisms to explain the discrepancy between the predicted and measured surface temperatures, one of which could be due to the planet having a very high metal content and a black surface. This would allow it to absorb and very quickly re-radiate all the radiation that falls on it, causing it to glow a deep red colour. Catching supernova explosions is one thing, but spotting their precursor stars is another. Of the different types of core collapse supernova, the progenitors of Type 2 events have sometimes been found on sensitive, high-resolution images taken by chance prior to the explosion. But little is known of the precursors of Type 1b and 1c supernovae. In research published in Nature during June, a group led by Andrea Pastorello at Queen's University in Belfast describe observations of two transient events at the same position in the galaxy UGC 4904. The first, spotted by Koichi Itagaki of Japan in 2004, faded from view over just 10 days. The second explosion, spotted at exactly the same coordinates 2 years later, was reported as supernova 2006 JC. A spectrum of the second explosion shows that the progenitor star was probably a very massive Wolf-Rayet star, somewhere between 50 and 100 times more massive than our own Sun. These stars have lost their outer hydrogen envelopes, and so their spectra appear hydrogen deficient. One explanation for the two explosions is that the 2004 event was a giant outburst similar to that of Eta Carinae in the 1850s, while the brighter 2006 event was the final catastrophic core collapse event of the same star. If this is the case, then this is the first time two such explosions have been seen from the same object. Another possibility, however, is that the first explosion was from a luminous blue variable orbiting in a binary system together with a Wolf-Rayet star, which then exploded in 2006. The fading light from 2006 JC continues to be studied by astronomers to see which of these scenarios is the most likely. Past evidence for liquid water has been found on the Martian surface by many scientific instruments on many different probes over the last few years. Topographic maps of Mars, such as those made by MOLAR, the Mars Orbiter Laser Altimeter, show that one half of the planet has a much lower mean height than the other. The boundary between the low and high areas of the surface has been described as a possible paleo shoreline, which might have bordered an enormous ocean 2 billion years ago. On Earth, the surfaces of the oceans trace an equipotential, a surface of constant gravitational pull. One of the objections to the shoreline hypothesis on Mars is that when the topography and gravitational potential were mapped by spacecraft in the 1990s, scientists discovered that the supposed shoreline deviated from an equipotential. The water level would have been much higher in some places than in others, by up to several kilometres. A team of researchers led by Taylor Perron at Harvard have now shown that a process known as true polar wander, a change in the orientation of a planet's poles compared to its rotation axis, could explain the difference in shoreline height. They suggest that the formation of the volcanic Elysium region could have caused the planet's orientation to shift, which in turn would have moved the shoreline. It has been suggested for some time that future large telescopes for very sensitive surveys of the sky may be constructed on the surface of the moon rather than in space. Instead of having traditional solid reflectors, however, they might use liquid mirrors. These have several advantages. They are simpler to construct and lighter than conventional solid mirrors, and together gravity and inertia will always pull the surface back to the parabolic shape required to focus incoming light. Previous experiments have used spinning liquid metal alloys, which, although good reflectors, are unsuitable for infrared observations. This is an important part of the spectrum for studying very high redshift galaxies and probing cosmology. Now, experiments carried out by Ermanno Borra and collaborators show that a stable reflecting surface, which is usable in this part of the electromagnetic spectrum, can be produced by coating an ionic liquid with a layer of silver. Optical and infrared telescopes built using this technology on the Moon could have apertures between 20 and 100 meters in diameter, and the ability to observe objects 100 to 1,000 times fainter than the next generation of space-based telescopes, whose sizes are limited by the capabilities of current launch vehicles. And finally, funding cuts are threatening the operation of the Arecibo Radio Telescope in Puerto Rico. A review of funding by the National Science Foundation last year recommended the budget of the observatory be reduced by 25% over the next 3 years. If the National Astronomy and Ionosphere Center, who operate the telescope, cannot find another source of funding to cover half the operating costs, then the facility may be shut down altogether by 2011. Due to the budget reduction, the observatory's radar system may be shut down as early as 2008. The radar system is used to study our solar system and has been used to make many discoveries in recent years, including the discovery of Mercury's molten core. It is also used to search for and track asteroids which may at some point collide with the Earth. The Goldstone radar system is also used for asteroid tracking, but it is 20 times less sensitive than the Arecibo telescope.